the message. It is a message of hope. I entitled my message this week, Lord of the Harvest. Well, it's an interesting concept, being Lord of the Harvest. And I hope and pray that you will get some, I don't know, food for thought as you read the gospel in chapter 9 of Matthew, verses 35 through 38. Now, if you remember, sometimes the shofar is really an important part of the Old Testament and the people of Israel. And even today, the shofar, which is like a trumpet or a horn, helps bring things together. Now, Phil has brought his shofar in the church a couple times and played it. It's really what they call a ram's horn. But the shofar is really something I think is part of the Lord of the Harvest. But I was thinking about nursery rhymes. I like nursery rhymes. Do you like nursery rhymes? I think most of us do. Now, I want to tell you one, and I want you, if you remember it, say it with me. Little boy blue, come blow your horn, the sheep in the meadow, the cows in the corn. But where is the boy who looks after the sheep? He's under a haystack, fast asleep. Well, I think that's the kind of reflection in some of the early times of the shepherds. But the shepherds, you know, carried these horns and wooden flutes that could be used to call their sheep. It was called the voice of the shepherd. And it could actually be a physical voice, or it could be the voice of his horn or shofar. Either way, that voice would be unique to the shepherd. Many times, a number of shepherds would graze their sheep on the hills of Bethlehem. But when it was come time where each shepherd would call the sheep in his own voice, and then the horn would sound, the sheep would immediately follow their own shepherd. It's an amazing thing. We are all like sheep, you know. Sometimes, though, a sheep could get distracted, and if one went astray, others would want to follow. Sheep are natural followers. So it's very important to have a shepherd who is paying attention to the sheep and not sleeping on the job, as that nursery rhyme suggests about Little Boy Blue. But the shofar is a Jewish instrument. Like I said, Phil brought one to church a few times. And it's a very prominent metaphor in our scriptures for the sound of God's voice. In fact, scripture tells us that God is the shepherd of us all. So the shofar was used to call people to worship, to remind people of God's presence, especially on the high holy days, and to sound the alarm if need be. It was the voice used to call God's flock to receive the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai in the Exodus story. So the shofar is made from a ram's horn. Some relate the ram's horn to the sacrifice of Isaac, or rather God saving Isaac from sacrifice by sacrificing a ram instead. You know, the ram was caught in the thicket, scripture says. So whichever way you look at it, the shofar is a holy instrument signifying God's presence, grace, and protection, and salvation. It also signifies the call to God's holy feasts. So the shofar was used and still used today for the sound of the celebration of Shavuot, and otherwise known as the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of the Wheat Harvest. The sounding meant it's time for people to celebrate the joy of God's harvest, but also a time to repent and return to God if you have wandered away like a sheep and gone astray. So when Jesus talks to his disciples about the harvest in our scripture text this week, he's saying that the time had come for God's judgment and salvation. Shavuot would also be soon followed by the ingathering of Sukkot. Harvest time. It's a joyful time. Even in our modern day farmers, they celebrate the harvest. The wheat harvest was the last of the grain offerings, and it was a harvest of blessing and feasting. So when the harvest was good, it was a time to take notice of all God's abundant blessings. But, you know, I love the buts and the if. For those who had turned away from God, it was also a time to perk up and shape up, because the threshing floor was near, and the wheat would soon be separated from the chaff. Those who were dressed for the wedding would be taken to God's table, and those who thwarted the master of the feast would be swept away and burnt with the chaff. And it was a time also to remain awake, to be ready to receive God's redemption. Shavuot is a time of making sure that you are keeping your side of the covenant. You know, as they always say, it takes two to tangle. You got to have two to make a covenant. So harvest time is an oath of reminder time. And it's a time when the bridegroom, the God, in this case, the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, comes for his bride. And you know it's God's flock. And he's betrothed to, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the harvest is the fulfillment celebration. The seeds that were planted long ago, they were nurtured and they are waiting to begin. And now the wheat is the last grain to mature. Now the waiting is over and the wheat is harvested. And it's a time for joy and dancing and singing and praise. But it's also of time of culmination. It's coming together. A covenant is a two-sided agreement when God promises the people of Israel that they will come into the promised land. Their combined story begins with the Exodus story from Egypt, and it's culminated in the giving of the Torah or the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai before entering into the promised land. This is a time when God swears a covenant with the people. It's a time when the people agree to serve and worship God and live by his commandment. Shavuot is the culmination of the Passover feast, 50 days. At Passover, the exodus from Egypt is remembered, and it's the beginning of God's salvation plan. But Shavuot is also the fulfillment of it. For Jesus, Shavuot is also a time when God's messianic plan comes to fruition. Jesus warned that God's kingdom had come near, and soon those who have waited long will see God's salvation prepared and fulfilled. Passover was the betrothal of the coming of together and the planting of the seeds and the betrothal that God had long wanted between his creation and himself. But now it's the time for harvest and the union between God and its people. Shavuot is a sense of a marriage ceremony, a marriage between God, the shepherd, and the flock. Yeah, and so the shofar blows, signaling a time of fulfillment. And God's voice has spoken. All who honor God must come to the feast, and all who love God will know God's voice, and they will know Messiah's voice also, which we know is Jesus, the Messiah. So, as Jesus announces the time for God's harvest in the scripture that we read today, it's no time to doubt Shavuot. Shavuot was one of the three times in Jesus' day when all of the Jewish people had made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So people would have come from everywhere throughout Judea, Samaria, and the Galilee and beyond, to celebrate the harvest festival, bringing their gifts of grain and fruits from the field. Now, Jesus knew the shepherds of Israel. The Sadducees, the priests, and many of the Pharisees were not steering the people into the arms of God, but they were leading them astray in all kinds of ways, and Jesus saw them as lost and wandering and needed to be led. Now, I can imagine him looking out over the crowds and many of them following him and many of them not knowing what to believe or who to follow or what to believe. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, must call them home, and he will need many helpers to do it. Yeah, helpers, you and me and the people of Jesus' day to help them. Pray, he said to the disciples, pray to the Lord to send workers into the harvest fields. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's time to go. Has any of you ever worked on a farm? I have, and it's a wonderful blessing. It's a lot of work, but it's a wonderful blessing. You learn a lot on the farm growing up. My grandparents farmed in Pennsylvania, And I was around it, and I didn't do all my adult life on the farm. I kind of left the farm and went my own way into the world. But what I can tell you is you can't run an entire farm on your own. No, one person can't do it. They call, well, the farmer. Well, the farmer has a lot of helpers. It's simply too hard, and it takes a number of people to make the harvest truly successful. So Jesus has grown up in one of the most agricultural regions of Israel and also in the Galilee, and he knew that it would take a lot of people to get the job done. There were many who were ripe for knowledge and ready to learn and needful of God's blessings and wanting to do things God wanted them to do, but they were without a proper shepherd. Even Jesus was the only person, and as Luke tells it, he needs his disciples to go ahead of him to town after town to proclaim his message to ready the people to hear them. We call that chumming in Pennsylvania. If you want to go and fish for trout, you got to go out and chum the water with corn or whatever bait you were going to use. And that's what Jesus was doing, sending the disciples ahead to prepare the people for the good news. But in a sense, Jesus' disciples became his shofars, carrying his voice to all the flocks that they could. And their voices would precede him, even as they echoed his. And those who truly belonged to God would stop and turn and listen. So when the disciples preached in Jesus' name, it was Jesus' voice that they heard. The call of the shepherd is inherent on the voice of his followers. And Jesus calls his followers, he was also calling shepherds, those who would help his voice carry through to the towns and through the ages. In the Himalayan, Shepa is something like a shepherd, except instead of guiding sheep, they guide people through the rough terrain of the Himalayan mountains. And in 1996, a team of men who were led by several seasoned Shepas attempted to climb Mount Everest. And as a result, if you've seen anything in the movies where they tell that story, only a few of them survived that treacherous climb. The shepherds are those in the mountain regions of Nepal and the Himalayas, and many of them act as guides for climbing the legendary Mount Everest because they're used to the thinner air and the terrain in the mountains because they know it like the back of their hand. So these climbers know where and when it is safe to climb, but often they lead them to the slopes, guiding them to safety and rescuing those who fall. And they teach them how to climb and the best places to stop and rest. But many die during this long duty for others. But it's a pride that their people care for. So when God called his people together from the mountain of Sinai those many, many years ago, God too gave his flock instructions on how to live a life in God's different kind of kingdom. And God established shepherds along the way to make sure to keep his people on track, to rescue those who wander away, and to call to those who got lost. Now, many of those shepherds failed along the way, and Jesus would need new shepherds, and he would call them that way, and he did. He knew the time was right. It was a time for people to meet God face to face, a time for them to be led to the marriage table of the Lamb. But he would need help to guide as many as possible in the gates of the God's sheepfold. You know, pastors are referred to as shepherds of the flock. So we have a lot of pastors that help people even today to hear God's voice, if you would. And those who would shepherd need to have learned from Jesus the way of the kingdom. They would need to be patient and loving and kind in order to gather the flocks from every place and time. And they would need to be trustworthy. They'd need to be ready. They would need to be determined. They would need to put their own lives on the line in order to be the voice of Jesus who calls others home. So, Jesus is still calling today for workers in the field. There are many of God's flock scattered out all over the world, lonely and lost, and so many have forgotten who they are and have forgotten God's voice. you and I and many, all who are called as followers of Jesus, to go and bring back God's beloved people to his heavenly face. Now, some do reject it, that's for sure. And some won't listen, and that's okay. But every flock that you encounter, some always will. And for God, everyone that listens matters. You know, the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes back to the living God. So, we as followers of Christ, we are the voice of Jesus in the world today. We are his followers who have been called to go. That's the first part of the gospel. Go into the harvest field and find those who are looking for God, because I can assure you most people are. Those who have lost their way, they want to be able to come back to God. And you and I are the voice of Jesus to God's people. You are his shofar. So when you leave church today, know that Jesus is depending on you to share the love that you have found through Christ with others. Because he can't do it alone. We are told that we are his hands and his feet. And we are. But we also need to be his mouth, sharing the voice of God to other people. So, as we go into the world, we are in the world, not of the world. Shout the Lord of the harvest, Jesus, because he truly can help everybody find the true peace of the kingdom of God. Well, I hope and pray that you have a wonderful day, and we just know that God is still on the throne. Yeah, we have trials and tribulations, but Jesus said, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." So we have hope, and we have hope as we go from life to life, because we don't experience death, not finality of death, because once we die and we have Jesus in our heart, we go to eternal life. That's the good news that we got to shout from the rooftops. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen.